I had been institutionalized for 10 years of my life. I had never spent no longer than 6 to 8 months in society during that period. I was in and out of children's homes, and that led to adult prisons. When I would come out of these environments of prison and homes, I didn't understand that I was acting the same way that one must act when in institutions. And I'll come to that in a sec. But I had been locked up from such an early age, and I was taking drugs from such an early age. I didn't know who I was when I first went to a boys' home in 1974. In prison and in homes, it's a dog-eat-dog mentality. It is survival of the worst. The more violent you are, the more rebellious against the system, the more aggressive you are, the more you get identified as respected. If you're not like that, you can survive in there, but you'll survive not getting what you need to get as far as the respect from other people is concerned. You can't take a backward step because that shows weakness in those environments. You can't show any form of emotion because emotions of caring for people or connecting with other people and being nice to people, that's also seen as a weakness. You've got to not give a fuck to survive in these environments. And if you do want to give a fuck in those environments, the only thing that you get respected for is caring about the prisoners against the system. That's it. So because I didn't know anything other than that life, I couldn't comprehend living another way. I thought that was normal. But what I didn't know is that I had been institutionalized and I wasn't aware of it. So I would get out of these environments and go back onto the street, where I would act aggressive, violent, have the same principles as jail, where if you're a dog, or if you did the wrong thing by your mates, or if you were a kid fucker, a petty thief, you were seen as weak. If you didn't attack people like kid fuckers, or if you told on people, you were attacked. If you didn't stand by your mates, you had no mates, you were no good. Jail loyalty, I didn't know, only belonged in jail. It didn't exist out here on the street. So because I didn't have any other living skills that I could fall back on and live in society as a normal human being, I broke the law, did what I wanted, took no responsibility for who I was, blamed everybody for what I was doing, had an angry persona about myself. It was me against the world, and those behaviours and the violence, they didn't work out here in society. So I always ended up back in the prison system, unhappy, didn't like myself. But that's all I knew, and I didn't know any better than that. That was it. I didn't know about feelings, I didn't know about being responsible, I didn't know about being a nice person, I didn't know about having compassion, I didn't know about having empathy, I didn't know about love in a way where I could connect with other human beings and I would be safe to be around, because even in love I wasn't a good partner. I didn't have the good skills to be in a loving relationship. I was very, very, very damaged from living in these environments of absolute fear, craziness, violence, seeing murders, watching people being maimed with shivs, and seeing people being attacked in a way where it was just absolutely horrendous. Some of the bashings I've seen, some of the attacks I've seen on other people, the attacks on myself. And that scarred me so much that I didn't understand that I was scarred. I didn't understand anything. I just thought that this was reality. I'd done it all my life, and nothing nor I didn't even think of change. I didn't sit down and go, oh, you know, I'd like to change one day and live in society and be a good citizen. No, like I just thought, fuck society. If society's against me, I'm against them. I had this massive rebellious in me where it was me, as I said, versus the world. So I would always go back to jail. Then I would get out, back again, back again. There was a revolving door. And I was okay with it from the point of view that people could relate to me in jail. I had a lot of connections in jail. It was familiar. I had friends. I had loyalty. I had respect. I was somebody in there. And I had an identity in there. As bad as it was still an identity that I could do it. I could fight. I could hurt somebody. I was against the system. I had the principles that I would have died for once upon a time. That's how genuine and sincere I was living like that. I think I could compare it like a soldier in a war. You get that damaged, you don't even realise how damaged you are until you come home. And that's what happened to me in 89 when I landed in the rehab. I was confronted from the first step into that place about my behaviour, my attitude, how I was conducting myself. And because I was in so much of a survival mode of living for my safety and for my well-being and survival in these environments of institutions, I really thought when I had residents say to me that I'm intimidating and angry, I was laughing at them. Because I didn't know any other way. Or when somebody would say to me, you're very threatening, Dean, I'd go, threatening? Are you serious? I haven't even punched you in the face yet. That's how much I was lost. I'm not pretending about this. This was real. I had no idea who I was or what I was doing. I was just on autopilot to survive and to survive the way I had to survive because I didn't know any other way. And in this rehabilitation center, from sun up to sundown, incorporated was only group therapy. In this confrontation, in this community. And it wasn't just me, everybody. It was a thing called a therapeutic community. Everybody got confronted on their behaviour and attitude and how they were conducting themselves and the lies they told and how they were acting manipulative and their motives in life, how they were conducting themselves in an inappropriate way to seek attention, or their identity was not good. They try to break that down. And I was told on so many occasions that my drug taking was an extension of the damaged soul I was. And I couldn't comprehend that, because I thought taking heroin was my problem. If I stopped taking heroin, then I wouldn't have the problems that I had in my life about going to jail, and living in society. If I stopped taking heroin, then I wouldn't go to jail. But there was a lot more to it than that. I didn't know that my survival mode that I used to survive was an extension of a hurtful human being behind it, of a scared human being behind it, of a fearful human being behind it. I didn't have a clue. I was so damaged, I couldn't reach that emotional normality that most people understand about themselves. I couldn't even get to that. And this confrontation of my behavior and my attitude in this community, through how I was acting in this community on a day-to-day basis, was being tested by other people showing me that my behavior at times was completely out of line, completely disrespectful to other human beings. It was behaviors such as manipulating people, causing drama, seeking problems to get off on, playing one person off another, threatening people, being aggressive, somewhat intimidating people. But the only thing I didn't do was act out violently, which I would have been discharged for. And not being aware of who I really was behind all this fear and worry and how I've been living in prisons and institutions, I was very reactive to other people, very skeptical, didn't trust anyone, couldn't trust anyone. Because again, in prison and in homes, the only person you can trust is yourself to survive. So that's what I thought trust was. I couldn't trust other people telling me things that could be true about myself. I wouldn't believe that. I used to say to people, like, you guys just haven't got a clue. Like, yous all need some jail. And that's how damaged I was. I thought people that didn't live the way I lived needed that to understand who I was, because that's all I knew. And I thought everyone uses drugs and steals and thieves. But this confrontation and this attack was building up and building up and building up. Every single day I would laugh at people, I would attack them verbally when they would say you're threatening, you're intimidating, you're lying, you're aggressive, you take no responsibility for yourself, you blame everybody for everything that you're doing in your life. And because my main outlet was violence, it felt good to hit somebody. It felt good to see somebody maimed. Because then I used to think, well, that's how I feel, by what you did to me. So I used to want to hurt people who hurt me or who done the wrong thing by me, because that's how I dealt with my feelings. And I didn't know any better. I just thought that was normal to do that. But it just kept going, and it was just building up all this talk about who I was, and I kept suppressing it and suppressing it. I'm handling it, but it's really, 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 really tough. I wanted to kill these people at this rehab, and I was even going to go as far. My motive started going, I'm going to go to the electoral roll and I'm going to get every one of their fucking names off that fucking electoral roll, and I'll find out where they live and I'll fucking smash them. I'll terrorise them, I'll hurt them, I'll run in their place with a fucking gun. You know, like, see how they feel when I put a fucking shotgun to their face or blow their fucking knees out. This is the anger, you know. I had so much anger within me. And I would have been happy to do that. And I was thinking that's what I was going to do to them. I was going to get them all back. Because if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. But I didn't know that the hurt comes from emotions and pain. I didn't know that. So one day I went off my head. I erupted like a volcano. And I screamed, I fucking punched a tree for half hour, bare fist, had blood coming off my hands, I was headbutting it, had blood running down my face. I was living, this rehab was like on a farm, so next door there was cows and sheep and they were mooing, and I jumped the fence and fucking tried to chase the cows, tried to punch them, and the sheep pissed off. I couldn't catch the cows, and then the bull come at me, and I started choking up to the bull, and I tried to punch the bull, and it come at me, and I tried to kick it, and it took off. I was just going off my head, and we were working on this putting down water tubes in the ground, these big friggin' like water drains, and on that work site there was probably 30 people, and they just all bolted when I started going off my head, because all the pressure within me exploded from my anger, frustration, wanting to hurt people for what they were saying to me, hated the place, hated what they were saying to me. And after I went off my head, I fell down and I cried. and I cried for 4 hours. And after I cried, I went to sleep in my villa. And I woke up a day and a half later, and I was absolutely gone. Like, I was toast as far as energy in me. That event was like an exorcism. That event just drained everything out of me. I had nothing left in me after that outburst. And it was a big outburst. It was a massive outburst. And the middle of that next day, one of my peers said to me, "How are you feeling?" And I said, "I'm feeling light." And he said, "Welcome to vulnerability." And I didn't even feel self-conscious, and I didn't feel angry, and I didn't feel like hurting people, and I wasn't frustrated. I was just at peace. I'd never felt this in my life. And I said to him, "If this is vulnerability, I'll never want to leave it. I love it." And that was the start of my change. And I wanted more. And I started to apply myself to the program. I started to see from that empty shell that I was after it. I started to see all the pain in me. I started to see all the fear in me. I started to see my anger. I started to see my vindictiveness, my motives. I started to see my behavior. I started to see that I was responsible for everything. I got to a place where I could actually get a different perspective from that freedom of emotionally being released. I had so much emotion in me that living in those environments and taking drugs and not showing emotions in those environments and not showing emotions on the street out of fear of what my so-called peers thought of me, which just, it crushed me. And I didn't even know I was crushed. And when that happened to me at that rehabilitation center, and I got through that, I could then make other changes to not be that person that I didn't want to be, because this person now felt good. And I wanted to be this person. I wanted to stay this person after that blow up that I had. I didn't want to leave this. I never wanted to leave it. And I stayed with it. And it was like my inner child, like who I was prior to taking drugs, who I was prior to going to boys' homes, who I was prior to spending all those years in prison being that person that I was before this vulnerable human being who had a lot of emotional problems. And from that, that was it for me. I was never going to go back to that other person, because this was my ticket to ride. This was definitely my ticket out of that. If I could keep talking about my feelings like people did in there, keep being honest about my feelings, if I could keep being genuine and sincere from that level, from that emotional level, I was never going to go back to jail, because I knew 1 + 1 = 2. If I thieved, I'm going to go back to jail. If I hurt somebody, I'm going to go back to jail. If I take drugs, then I'm going to behave in a way where I'm going to thieve and do things and I could go back to jail. So it wasn't rocket science that I could now take control of my life, and I just knew that I was never ever going to go back to jail. And the freedom I felt in that was phenomenal. It's like I won the lottery. Like I was never going to live in a cell. I was never ever going to look through bars again. I was never going to live that way of survival, like in a war zone. I was never going to live that way again. And there was, that was such a relief. If I kept to these principles, and I did, and I've never ever gone off them. That was in 1989, and I've had a fantastic life, but I've kept doing it all the way through. I've gone through times where I've blamed people. I've gone through times where I've questioned myself as far as if I'm doing the right thing in business. And I've gone through times where I've struggled a lot. Had lost my family and breakups, lost being around my kid, the pain and hurt. It's been phenomenal. I've lost girlfriends through deaths overseas. I've been in court a lot of times as far as the regulator's concerned. When I say a lot, a couple of times, and that was my own doing. I've taken drugs recreationally out here, not like full on as a heroin addict, but I haven't been perfect. But I've always talked about my feelings. I've always taken responsibility for what I've done. And I've grown out of all my troubles and all my struggles out here. Lost my parents. Just normal everyday things people go through. Everybody goes through the things I just mentioned. But I realised if I kept talking about those things and talking about my hurt, my pain, my feelings, my sadness, my dealing with my grief, understanding I'm going through grief, I can get past it. I've been hurt really bad by my family who I grew up with. They've done things and said things that have been completely untrue, and I've had to deal with that, and that's been painful. I've had to deal with lots of adversity as far as myself, because that experience in and out of prison for so long, I didn't have the skills. Like, I realized it was going to take me 15 years to get the skills I needed to find my feet in life out here at least. I'd spent 10 years in there, so for me to understand that I'm going to live not doing what I used to do in prison, that wasn't going to change overnight. That was a process. And I realised change is a process. It doesn't happen straight away. Like, once you've been a certain way for so long, it takes years to act differently in situations where you act differently previously, and it has taken me years. And that's why I talk a lot about accountability and responsibility and looking at yourself and dealing with a lot of things in life, because I know life is hard and life is challenging. And if I could see how I was living, there's a chance if somebody else is struggling in life and living a shit life, there's a chance they might see who they've been, you know? And if they do, you can do something about it. I don't know if you've got to get broken like a horse like I did in that rehab, but I don't think there's anything wrong with being broken like a horse. It's like a horse when it gets broken in. It needs to find discipline. And so somebody can ride the thing. So being broken is a good thing, because you can be used. And it tampers you down. And I needed to be tampered down like a horse. I needed it so life could ride me. So I could stay out here and be ridden. But if I didn't get broken down like a horse, so life could ride me, and I could be safe, I don't know what would happen. Probably I'd be dead. Or I'd be doing a lot in the nick. So yeah, just a little game, you know. You have a great Monday, and that's a little bit about me. You take care now, and never stop looking at yourself. Take care.